Konnichiwa, my egg tomato cheese. Welcome back to another Baka to Baka episode. This is episode 12. I know. I didn't think we'd make it this far. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I did. We're just honestly talking about whatever we want about anime and stuff. But yeah, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. I am with my co-host, of course, Ivan.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we recorded was about 3 weeks ago, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't feel too long this time because I have seen you a lot since then, which yeah. is really nice. But last time he was here, we really didn't have too much time to record because I was helping him fix his PC, which we thought the worst was going to happen, but it actually ended up being something very simple.
Right.
Which is really nice, which is great.
Thank goodness. I know.
Yeah. I'd rather have that than us spend like so many hours trying to figure out what the heck was wrong. Mm-hmm. But long story short, there is this battery in motherboards that I guess helps store like the default settings on the BIOS.
I don't remember. I know we looked it up, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's like something like that. Like, I didn't even know that was something that motherboards... I mean, they don't necessarily need it, but... anyway, long story short again, the battery was a little loose in there, so I took it out, put it back in, and voila, it worked.
Yeah, it's probably because it's a pretty old motherboard, too, so it's yeah. like outdated, mm-hmm. but still but works.
Thank you, Kami-sama. For making sure that it was not anything like nothing got fried in there. But yeah, I mean, nothing much else has been going on since the last time you were here. That was like a week ago almost. No, yeah, it was a week ago. Yeah,
was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Last Saturday, right? No. Or two Saturdays ago then.
Two Saturdays ago, yeah.
Oh man, everything's blending again. yeah, nothing much has been going on since the last time you were here. Yeah, because you saw the new floors of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I swear that was only like a week ago.
Not like 2 weeks.
Man. I'm trying to remember. I went to Richmond with a friend to go biking and we ate and drank. Yeah, honestly, nothing significant has really happened. We should start a happy Halloween, everyone. I mean, it will not be Halloween anymore when you listen to this, but I hope you all were not being dumb and going out to parties because, you know, a whole pandemic is still going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, trick or treat, smell my feet, trick whatever, you know, all that whole thing. I know a lot of people are doing like a trunk or treat this year, you know, with the whole COVID and stuff, so they're pretty much decorating the back of their car, like okay. their trunk, and they have, or I guess I've seen some of my friends do it where they put like individual baggies out with like mm-hmm. assorted candies already made or already, you know, picked out.
Yeah,
and that's their trick-or-treating where, you know, kids can just come up and just pick it.
Just pick your bag.
Yeah, so in parking lots. So it's like a little bit easier to social distance, I guess. Because cars spaced out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little bit safer than going to someone's home that you don't even know about.
Right.
And I know they like sanitize the bags and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's weird thinking about that this year.
Any holiday is weird this year.
I know, right? Like, I feel so bad for Io and Benji. Because they're not going to be doing any of that.
Yeah, don't get the Halloween experience.
Yeah, you don't want to get tricked into getting COVID, but it's better to be safe than sorry, right?
Yeah.
So happy Halloween wherever you are in the world. Please be safe. Don't be dumb. If you are being dumb, you're probably just as a clown. So, but yeah, oh, man, I'm trying to remember the last time I actually did something for Halloween. I don't even remember what I did last year.
I think last time I actually did Halloween was high school.
Wow. Oh, like actually went out door to door.
Yeah, went out trick-or-treating with friends. Definitely high school. Yeah. After that, it was just kind of like, I don't know.
Door to door was probably high school too. After that, I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'm just buy candy.
right?
I'm trying to think of, like, when I was a kid, the best candy that I remember receiving from someone's house, or I guess back in the day, it was always, like, the military base, like, housing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember one particular house, or I guess unit, they were giving full-size candy bars. It was lit. It was like the best
Christmas
thing.
Christmas and Halloween.
Yeah, it was Christmas and Halloween pretty much. That's like Christmas for like any kid.
What's like the most whack thing you ever got for like Halloween trick-or-treating?
Trying to think. I probably the wackest piece of candy I got was either, or I guess not, yeah, candy is like Good and Plenty's. Do you know those?
No.
The whack ass licorice.
Okay, if it's
like licorice, the white and purple like pill looking licorice candy.
I've never seen those.
That's probably the wackest piece of candy I've ever gotten as a kid.
Was that here in the States?
I want to say it was in Alaska, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, off the top, I would probably say that one. And that's like one of my least favorite candies ever.
You want to hear my whack my whack Halloween story?
Do it.
Okay, so we were trick-or-treating with my friends. This was like, again, high school. I think this was like probably either the last time we ever went trick-or-treating. We ran out of the neighborhood, right? And we're getting candy. We're like, okay, yeah, candy for you, whatever. And I think some of us didn't even like dress up. We were just like walking around, just getting candy.
I'm a human.
And we went to this one house, and I think the guy was like sitting on his porch, and he was like, we were like, oh yeah, trick or treat, you know, whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, we don't believe in Halloween, but you guys can have these religious pamphlets.
Oh my gosh, that is whack.
We were like, okay, thanks.
Oh, well, at least you guys were nice enough to take it. I would be like, nah.
That was so funny. I'd never experienced that ever going trick-or-treating.
That is hilarious. What kind of pamphlets were they? Do you remember?
It was like, It wasn't Catholic. It definitely wasn't Catholic. It was probably some sort of like, some sort of Christian denomination.
Yeah. Like, if you celebrate Halloween, you're going to hell. Oh, God. That sucks. At least I got candy.
You're right.
I guess speaking of Halloween as well, our main theme today is going to be highlighting some psychological horror or gory horror anime. So, but we'll get to that later. Anything you've been watching lately?
For me, I still haven't started a lot of the fall season stuff, except for like some of the continuation seasons of
Fall. Right. I usually don't.
But I did watch. Well, I am watching now. Is it Seven Deadly Sins?
Oh, you're starting that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. I think
10 or 11 now.
Are you watching it on Netflix?
No, I'm watching it on GoGo.
On GoGo? Okay. GoGo's still up?
GoGo's still alive, baby.
I am very surprised. That used to be like my number one until they had Kiss Anime up, and now that's obviously gone.
I've been always GoGo.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could always go on GoGo, because I always love when they do the randomize also, and I love their catalog of movies. Okay, yeah, so for me, I've been watching, for this season, the main four, or the main ones, are Jujutsu Kaisen, which is, I think it kind of fits the Halloween theme. It's about this guy who pretty much eats a curse and uses its power to defeat other curses. The Day I Became a God, which I remember we were talking about that before, where you said the creator of Clannad.
Yep, Jun Maeda.
So nothing sad has happened at all yet. So I'm very scared for the future episodes because
it's gonna hit you like a train, man.
Yeah, because Clannad was the same way, where it was very slice of life, chill, very romantic, like cute romantic stuff, mm-hmm. and then bam, hit you right in the feels. But dude, the first episodes are so funny. Next one is the gymnastics samurai. It's kind of sounds like what you think. Okay. It's gymnastics, but no samurai per se, but it's about the this like Japanese gymnast who was a very, very promising gymnast when he was younger, went into the Olympics and got like silver or bronze, I don't remember, and he was referred to as the gymnastic samurai because of his mm-hmm. hairstyle. Very slice of life, wholesome kind of thing. Really good. I recommend that one. And last but not least, Yashahime, which is the direct sequel to Inuyasha that a lot of us have been waiting years and years and years for. Have you watched Inuyasha?
I think I watched like the first two, and I don't remember why I never kept up with it.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty old now, or I guess in anime terms, it's definitely an OG. But
oh yeah, that's definitely like one of the OG classics.
Yeah, that's like early 2000s. But I definitely recommend you finishing that out and then continuing on with Yashahime, because it continues with his daughter and Sesshomaru's daughter, which, since you've only seen the first two episodes, Sesshomaru is Inuyasha's older brother.
Okay.
And it pretty much, the main protagonists are Sesshomaru's two daughters and Inuyasha's daughter, which is really cool to see them like come back. But yeah, I mean, those are the current fall animes that I'm into, aside from the ones that are continuations. And actually, I've been watching this anime called Wotakoi. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that one, yeah.
Dude, I don't want to go into the name of the title because it's pretty long, but it's pretty much in English translation, it's hard to have a relationship with an otaku. So you could picture, well, I guess pretty much the synopsis is two otaku in their own respective fields, one being a gamer, one being a manga freak or anime freak, they get into a relationship, and it's pretty much just about those two trying to make the relationship work as two otakus, and it's so good. It's so funny. The opening song and animation is like one of the best. I was like not expecting anything that good, because they do like the small like a choreographed routine kind of thing.
Nice.
In the opening. Definitely recommend that. That might be creeping up to be one of my top like rom-coms ever, because it's so funny. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me on current anime watchings. Other than that, playing Genshin Impact.
Playing Genshin. Oh, so you know, I found out Matsuoka Yoshitsugu,
yeah,
Kirito. He does a voice in that game too.
Who? What character?
Oh God, like Zhao something.
Oh, that's probably a character that I don't have. God.
Apparently, I think it might have been just from the beta and it hasn't been like actually released yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I know. Yeah, a lot of the characters that people played in the beta or saw in the beta, come December, they're gonna be four new characters. I'm not sure if he's gonna be one of them, but yeah, it's gonna be crazy trying to roll for those people. And speaking of rolling for characters, it sucks. I've never really played a gacha game, like mobile games, mm-hmm. or I have, but I never really delved into it too much. But this is like the first one where I'm actually like, man, I kind of want to spend money to get these characters.
It really gets you. Like I said, when I play FGO,
yeah,
dude, like when you see like all these good servants, and you're just like,
mm-hmm.
you're spending your Saint Quartz and your free summon tickets, and you just don't get what you want. You're just like, do I really want to pull out the wallet for this one?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I try to save up as much of the free currency that I have at least enough to roll maybe 10 times.
Yeah.
And I did that last week. And there's a new character out named Klee.
Yep.
I mean, either way, I was trying to get her or like any other character that I don't have. And I rolled 10 times. And all I got was a damn 4-star weapon. I was so mad. And it's funny, too, because like when you roll, this like shooting star comes into this like animation. And after a certain part of the animation, you could see that it could change into a purple or gold color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Purple is a 4-star item. And then the gold is obviously a 5-star character. And I'm always just like, come on, turn gold, please.
Yeah, please.
And it doesn't do it. Ugh. That, yeah, like you said, that's when it's like, oh, do I really want to drop money on this thing? Like, what's going to be like the replay value in like a year?
Right. Yeah.
But it seems like they're in it for the, like, miHoYo is the studio that makes it. Yeah. They said they're trying to make this game for like, to be playable for years to come. So, like, story wise.
I mean, just starting now, do you like, there's a lot of content.
Isn't there? I told you there's so much content.
So much. Like, I just finished going through the first, like, that first castle town place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. First part.
Yeah.
And I just, like, now I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
It's pretty overwhelming. That's like, I feel like that's a catch-22 with a game like that, where it's like, yeah, you have so much content, but then when you look at how much content there is, or there potentially could be, it's overbearing on a player. Mm-hmm. I feel like someone who's like super casual about it.
Yeah. Or somebody that's never played this style of game.
Yeah.
It could just be a lot to take in.
Like, in one sense, I would rather be a new player coming to this kind of game as opposed to somebody who kind of knows things about this or things about games like this, who's a casual player. Because I feel like whoever is a casual player, once they stop playing for a bit, they're probably never going to come back because it's so daunting. Like, sometimes I feel that way when after I do my daily stuff, I'm just like, oh, man, I could do all this, but I really don't want to right now because it's a lot of work. But it is. It's a lot of fun. And the one really big gripe that I have is the co-op content. It's not a lot yet. So, like, when you get to Adventure Rank 20, or 16 is when you can start doing co-op stuff. But really, you want to get a little bit higher than that so you can do, like, really high-level or, I guess, higher-level domains or, like, boss fights.
Yeah.
But even then, it's very, very limited to what you can do with other people.
Right.
Which kind of sucks. It's mostly just fighting. You can't do any story stuff, which is, I mean, I get it. So you don't like power level people, but at the same time, it's like, just let it happen. It's like, who cares? People are going to spend money anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do in the future with co-op stuff. Cause it would be really sweet if we could do raids.
Yeah. That'd be so much fun. Like, just get like a group of people together.
Yeah. Like super, super dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like big ass raids. Because this game has the potential to do it, especially with the whole, the elemental aspect of it, where everyone's element really matters.
Yeah.
Because when we start doing domains or like small boss fights or like world boss fights, you have to have like certain elements to beat these people. Otherwise, you're going to get stomped on. And even if you have the elements, if you're not geared up enough, you're going to get stomped on immediately. So. Yeah,
I'm still like struggling with the whole element thing.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to because you have to combo them, otherwise it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about this game is it's cool that you could switch on the fly, but it's hard to create teams on the fly, which kind of sucks because you have to get out of the menu. Click on, you know, party members, and then you have this like randomly or manually select.
There's like no presets that you can make.
Yeah, like I wish there was a hotkey to just like preset, oh, I'm gonna choose this, you know, X team or B team or whatever. Especially because you're gonna use every element, but you can't have every element.
Yeah.
Or you most of the time you're not going to have every element on your team depending on the character. Because not everybody in their element is good. Like, Amber is super, super whack. She's, like, cool in the beginning, like, where you're at.
Yeah.
But once you get towards, like, the higher level stuff, when you need really strong pyro people, she is super whack. Which really sucks. But, yeah, I mean, gaming-wise, Genshin and Valorant still, for me... I think my friends and I are going to play Phasmophobia tonight. Not sure. Unless you want to play Phasmophobia.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that already. God, it's really, it's like scary because you get in your head immediately. It's like, it's really bad. But it's so funny when you're playing with like your, like four other people or three other people. It's one of those games where you could watch. Yeah, I'll probably stream it later if we play, but it's definitely one of those games where it's way more fun with a full party.
Oh, yeah.
Because you, like, freak each other out, too. It's so, it's great.
Yeah, I think game-wise, Genshin.
Mm-hmm. And now that you have your PC up and running.
Right, yeah, Genshin. I started GTA 5. I've never played GTA 5.
Really? Dude, that game aged so well. That game is so old. It's
coming still popular for some reason.
It's coming up on like, dude, almost 10 years. I want to see, when did GTA 5 come out? Are you going to do any like role playing?
Oh God, jeez. I would, but
it's fun watching RP players. Yeah, this game is 7 years old. Which is nuts.
It's still popular.
But it is great. That's like the different kind of like Genshin where it's like action RPG kind of thing. Or not RPG, but action adventure game.
It's the kind of game where, you know, you could do things that you wouldn't be able to do in real life.
Oh, facts. Like run people over if they piss you off.
Yeah.
We don't do that, but
we don't do that here.
And we can't, but you know.
Yeah. So
if you live in a high traffic area or in an area that has so many stupid drivers and you know what GTA is, you'll wish GTA was a real thing.
DC, LA, New York.
Everywhere. Almost everywhere. But yeah, so GTA 5, Genshin.
GTA 5, Genshin. I just bought, because I played it before when I was at school, was Payday 2.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
And Payday 2 right now is 50% off in the Steam sale.
Oh, there is a Halloween sale, yeah.
It's literally $5. So I bought one for me, I bought one for Aaron.
Nice.
Aaron convinced Dominic to buy it, so we're probably going to play that later tonight.
How many players?
Up to four.
Up to four? Ooh, yeah. You might have convinced me.
You could be our fourth. It'll be fun. Like, it's fun. I had Aaron try it first before I got him a copy.
Right.
And he enjoyed it, so.
Nice. Because it's a co-op game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so that and then you, me, and Aaron on Apex.
Yes, sir. That dub the other night. Ooh, felt good. That game, I feel like that game is like starting to get better and better over time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna be playing that more now that you have a PC, or you and Aaron have a PC.
When does season come out again? I forgot.
I think season next or this coming Tuesday.
Yes.
Pretty sure. I might be wrong, but yeah, usually releases like that come out on Tuesdays. So.
Yeah,
that'll be exciting. That's gonna be fun. Yeah. Other than that, I think we're all cut up so far. Well, I am gonna see you. Oh wait, yeah, I'm gonna see you soon.
2 weeks.
Oh, cause we're gonna watch our movies, baby. So yeah. So for anyone listening, I hope listening. was it Fate's Day?
Fate's Day night.
Fate's Day Night, the first and second movie.
Yeah, first and second movie that came out a couple years ago. And then the new movie that came out this year, but got delayed because of COVID.
Uh-huh.
So now they're just now showing that. So we're watching all three movies, not on the same weekend, but
yeah,
they're doing a double feature on my birthday, 14th. And then so we're going to do that. And then the following week, we're going to watch the new movie that comes out, the third movie that comes out.
Yep. Dude, I have never done a double feature of anything.
Dude, it's gonna be so crazy.
This is gonna be a marathon.
It's gonna be like a 4 hour like feel fest.
It's gonna be like feel fest or freaking super crazy fight fest. Oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be great. I just can't wait because like when I told you, like when I watched the movie, I was like, you know, when you're watching it on your laptop, it's a different experience than what you get in a theater because you get that surround sound,
mm-hmm.
that extra.
You get the good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gonna be awesome. And we haven't been to freaking movie theaters in like 8 months, so, or 7 months, I should say. Which is nice because theater that we're going to has like Lazy Boy style seats, and they section off pretty much all around you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be like not a lot of people there for like the double feature at least. So we're pretty much going to have the theater to ourselves, so we can howl and laugh and holler all we want.
I'm going to bring tissues. I might cry.
Oh yeah. So definitely looking forward to those 2 weeks. But yeah, we're all cut up now. So, now that you guys know, the new thing that we're doing is we're also featuring a musical artist every episode or group.
And, or song.
Or song. Yeah, and or song. And this week, I guess it's my turn since we did Ima last time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing One O'Crock, or some English people, One OK Rock.
Because, you know, we want to be.
Yeah, it depends on who you like, whatever you want to say. So what you guys heard in the beginning was the song We Are, and it's from their album before the newest one that came out. And the reason why I'm choosing this song is the significance of how it became what it is. And I remember I was telling you before, I was like, it's crazy how when you find out the story behind the making of a song, when you listen to it after that, it just hits so different. And this one in particular hits so, so hard. Every time I listen to it now, it like almost makes me want to cry because it's so cool. So when One O'Crock was making this song, they kept in mind like the young generation in Japan. And in Japan, when you're 18, you're considered a full-fledged adult. Like, you're a brand new young adult, and you need to provide for, you know, the society, like your family, you yourself, your family, or whatever, and you need to contribute to society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, or if you're seen as, like, not capable of doing that, you're kind of, not ostracized, obviously, but you definitely have... Yeah, you're definitely looked at differently, like a what's the term, like a hikikomori.
I forget,
something like that. Or like if you're neat, yeah. Who's like a person who stays at home all the time and does nothing but like play games, or if you're an otaku or whatever, you're definitely seen as not a proper adult, and you're judged for that, like, harshly, quietly but harshly. So this song was originally written in 2016, I think, if I'm getting my date right or my year right. 15, 16, something like that. And they wanted to address the fact that a lot of young adults come into, you know, society with all those expectations. You know, you're fresh out of high school. Sometimes most of the time, you don't know what you're doing, right? Or you don't know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you may have, like, aspirations and stuff that kind of sway away from the norm of, like, you know, the working class or the working force. So, like, people who are artists in whatever aspect of artistry that you can think of, like a musician, a writer, you know, music producer, musician, all that stuff. Kind of the same with, like, I guess here in the States, but, you know, if you're somebody who isn't who isn't like a doctor or whatever, that has like a secure job, you're like, you're kind of looked down upon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So One O'Crock made this song to give a voice to the young adult, or I guess the young generation as a whole, who have to deal with that stigma of being a young adult who doesn't have like a set plan or doesn't have a very clear path to, you know, with a career. So NHK, the Japanese like broadcast whatever the company, the news company, whatever, they did a documentary with WannaCrock, focusing on their making of that song and how they came about doing it. And they also incorporated up-and-coming 18-year-olds or, you know, people who are like 19, 20-ish,
yeah,
who are still fresh out of high school or fresh into college, not knowing what they want to do, or they have dreams and it's just not like something that will please their family.
Mm-hmm.
And WannaCrock worked with roughly 1,000 kids that were handpicked by NHK and WannaCrock through video, not testimonials, auditions, like kind of thing.
Okay.
And it was so cool to see because, like, they watched, like, obviously more than 1,000 kids, you know, audition for the part in being a part of the song. And it was so cool seeing them not judge any single one. I mean, I didn't see them watch every single one, but each one that they watched, that they showed, they didn't judge them at all. They were just like, oh, sugoi, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was that young and I had all these like aspirations and dreams, or, you know, I was young and when we made this band, we were still unsure of what like actual direction we wanted to go towards.
Mm-hmm.
And it, obviously that, you know, that you connect with that kind of thing because you were once 18 years old and didn't know what the hell you wanted to do.
Right.
But I feel like,
still don't know what you're gonna do.
Yeah, but definitely, I mean, you, the thing about adulthood is you're going through it, not knowing what you want to do. You just, you know, you have a cooler head about it, I guess, or right. You have more experience mm-hmm. about it, about, you know, getting through life. What was I going to say? Oh, so they handpicked 1,000 kids to be with them to perform their song, and it's cool. It was cool because NHK highlighted some kids more than others, but not because that they're better, but, you know, they had like a certain story that, you know, helped tell their story when making the song. I'm not gonna go into like crazy detail about who the kids were, but I, like, you don't see, at least from my knowledge, I'm probably ignorant, but I don't see any Western artists or artists in America do that here, per se. Like, I don't think I remember ever seeing any artist that highlights something like that. And seeing them do that, like, very truthfully, because they could relate to these kids, was such a cool thing. And, like you were saying, you know, even if you're in your late 20s or whatever, even with like a stable career path, like sometimes you just don't really know what you're doing or what you want to really do. Mm-hmm. I feel like the majority of people like our age still really don't know what they want to do, or they're still trying to figure stuff out like that. But I guess to tie in with like why I'm doing or why I'm talking about their song is I can super relate to those kids who don't know what they want to do. And that's the reason why it touched me so much, because I was like, man, I'm still going through that, but I definitely feel like the song speaks to me specifically, you know?
Yeah, you definitely have that connection.
Yeah. Yeah, so fast forward to like the them performing with 1,000 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess backtracking a little bit, the kids went through like vocal, like small vocal training to to do the background vocals of the song.
Yeah.
But it's not like background vocals where it's just like they only do like one line and then they just enjoy their live concert of them performing the song. Mm-hmm. They were like pivotal singers in the song itself.
Yeah. If you can definitely hear that in the
music
the
video,
track, in the track itself.
Yeah.
There's like,
Like, the beginning is the kids, which is crazy.
It's like, it sounds like a concert audience almost.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I don't know did I send you the video? I did send you the video, right? Of like the actual live performance of them singing and stuff.
With the kids.
With the kids.
That one I didn't see that one.
Yo, okay. I have to send that to you because it'll make you cry. But when you watch that video with knowing why they made the song and who they made it for, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, it just like it swells up inside you, and you want to sing along.
Oh, I always sing along no matter what song.
but like that one, you're like, yeah, this is me joining them. Like my voice is being
you're
heard.
You're part of the yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
That's like testament to our like argument about Japanese musicians and artists just understanding like their craft and being able to like bring out their passion in their art, right? Mm-hmm. Like their music, like you just feel it. And it was funny, I was reading a comment on like one of the like a video on a Japanese song, and it was like, dad comes into room, do you even understand any of these words? And the kid goes, I don't, but I feel it, and it's better that way.
So that's what I always say. Like that was my dad.
Right? Oh, yeah. Right. Because,
like, sometimes when we all, like, go to your house or whatever, like, I just play my
on the way
playlist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he doesn't do it so much now because he's probably already asked it, like, a couple times already. But,
yeah.
He'd just be like, why do you listen to this? Like, you don't even understand what they're saying. I'm like, well, it's not about like what they're saying. It's just how you feel emotionally about the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, man, that's exactly it. And that goes for a lot, pretty much any song that, you know, like from K-pop to,
mm-hmm.
You know, Hispanic music that we were talking about before. It's once you do know the lyrics and stuff like that, of course it's going to,
It elevates it, honestly.
Elevates it. And I want to go back. Dude, I feel like we're just going to start talking about music again, but I definitely want to revisit in another episode this, you know, topic about when you understand why an artist made it or when you understand the lyrics behind it,
mm-hmm.
that song hits so different. Like Yo Asobi's.
Oh,
we're gonna come back to that, but yeah, so anyway, yes. We Are by One Ok Rock, like that's probably my all-time favorite song from them now, and I just had to highlight it because it's so good. Like if I ever see them live and they perform that song, I will bawl.
I think my ball song for them would be Wherever You Are.
So that's so good too. God, they're just so good.
Did you listen to the the concert acoustic version of that song?
Yeah. That's like one of the first videos like that pops up when you want.
It was like literally just like straight guitar or straight piano, and then he mm-hmm. just sings it and you're just like, oh my God, like he's, the vocal range of this guy.
Taka is incredible.
Incredible voice.
But yeah, I just wanted to highlight that song. You'll hear it in the end. That'll be my opening expose for today. But yeah, check it out. 1 o'clock, We Are. Watch on YouTube the live, if you could find it, that's what I forgot. NHK made it like a quote-unquote festival, and they called it 18 Fests. Because obviously just for the 18-year-olds.
Okay.
But yeah, search that video up on YouTube, the We Are 18 Fest version, and it'll blow you away. I promise you. If you don't get blown away, there's something wrong with you, and you need to get checked out. But yeah, all right, let's get into the meat of this episode, and let's talk about what animes we are highlighting today for the Halloween special.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, spooky, spooky.
Did you want to go first or me?
I can go first. Okay. I got you a chance to catch your breath.
Okay. I'm like tearing up just thinking about this song.
Just thinking about it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'll let you catch up.
Go ahead.
There. Okay, so yeah, so today I wanted to showcase Steins Gate.
Ooh.
And so Steins Gate came out in like, well, the first season came out in 2011. Mm-hmm. And then the second season aired in like 2018. So like, dude, 7 years.
Wow. Okay.
The second. Well, it's not, I guess, can't really call it a second season per se, because it's more of like an alternate to what happened in the first season. And okay. I'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Steins Gate is based on the visual novel that was released in 2009, which I didn't know. I thought it was just like a, you know how like most shows are like based off like mangas and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so this one's based off a visual novel,
mm-hmm.
and I had never seen it. I know I've always heard about it, but I never like really took the time to like actually watch it myself. Mm. But for some reason, I don't know why, but so something just hit me. I was like, you know what? I think I'll watch Steins Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of went on my anime list just to like kind of prep myself for what I'm gonna get into.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my anime list had it like rated as a 9.12, which is like,
that's,
I think it's the third highest rated anime on that site.
Yeah, that's super freaking high.
I was like, well, if it's rated this high, then it must be like super good.
Mm-hmm.
And then so like I'm looking through all the stuff again, and then I see it's made by Studio White Fox.
Uh-huh.
So if you guys don't know, Studio White Fox makes other animes like ReZero, Goblin Slayer.
Okay.
This one I watched too previously, like within the last couple weeks, was Devil is a Part-Timer. Have you seen that one?
Oh yeah, that one's great. I haven't finished it, but it is so funny. It's so funny. It's
quick highlight. It's think of an isekai, but a reverse isekai.
Yeah, where the fantasy character goes to real life.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. Great. If you haven't seen that one, watch that one too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think the other one that they made, I can't remember on the top of my head. It's the one that you watched. It was like, it's an isekai also. I think it's the one where like the hero is like a cautious hero or something like that.
Overly cautious hero. I could see that. Yeah, I could see like the animation comparisons between Steins Gate.
So that's Studio White Fox,
mm-hmm.
In a nutshell. But yeah, so this is my, I guess, synopsis of Steins Gate. And like I said before we started the podcast, it was like I wrote it as like
spoiler free ish as
possible. Summarizing the like first couple episodes without spoiling the rest of the season or how the show is gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
So the story revolves around Rintaro Okabe,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to shorten these because that's like they have their nicknames in the show,
right?
So he goes by Okarin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the story revolves around him and his lab members, Mayuri Shina and Hashira Itaru. So Mayushi and Daru.
Mm-hmm.
So Mayushi is his childhood friend, and then Daru is a hacker who has like perverted tendencies, and you'll see that when you watch it in the show. So it's kind of like, think of, how do I explain it? It's kind of like, think of like an otaku, like a diehard like otaku,
yeah,
right? And then he sees like a cosplayer and he's like trying to get the panty shot.
Yeah, okay, so
that kind of like perverted tendencies, right? Yeah. Or like he sees like somebody's like attracted to you, he's like, oh my god, like say these things to me, you know?
Right. That's okay, like very, very stereotypical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's him. So I think Okarin is like, he was a science major, or he is a science major in college right now. Mm-hmm. And he has this like Chunibyo personality kind of. Like he's like super, like he's smart, but he also has like this Chunibyo side, and I think he does it as a not a coping mechanism, but like a, not a defensive mechanism either. Just something to like hide his like embarrassment, I guess.
Okay.
Per se, mm-hmm. of like some things. Mm-hmm. So he has like his Chunibyo personality that where he claims himself as a mad scientist, okay. Named Ho-Oin Kyoma, mm-hmm. and he'll always like reference that all the time. And it's really funny because like sometimes, like if something happens, like he thinks that, you know, somebody's out to get him, he'll like mm-hmm. pick up his phone and act like somebody's on the other line. And then he'd be like, hello, is this the organization? It's me, Ho and Kyoma. I think they're after me, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
like, and then his friends would be like, who are you talking to? There's nobody on the other line.
Okay.
So based on like the first three characters alone, I was just kind of like, okay, this seems like a, it's going to be like a funny
yeah,
kind of style anime, right?
Right.
I was wrong. Yeah, so these three run a lab in Akihabara, mm-hmm. and they go about like making projects called future gadgets. Mm. And so one of the gadgets they create, they end up calling it like a phone microwave because like it was literally a microwave that somehow was like connected to like a cell phone. And so one day they took the phone microwave and they found a way, they put like a banana in it, and then mm-hmm. they found a way to like transport the banana back to like the group that they broke it off from.
Whoa.
But here's the catch, like, so it went back, but it became like green goop.
Okay.
So this discovery leads them to finding out that the phone microwave can like send short mails back to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you type like a very like, I think it was like you can only put like 16 characters or something like that,
okay.
into a message, and then you can send that back like in time. So one day he goes to like a special lecture that's being held in like Akiba,
mm-hmm.
On like discussing about like the concepts of like time travel, and then here he happens upon Makise Kurisu.
Mm-hmm.
Who he, again, through his Chunibyo, like, because he likes her, like, eventually in the series, he likes her, so mm-hmm. he ends up, like, funnily calling her Christina all
mm-hmm.
the time,
mm-hmm.
just to hide that,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, his embarrassment of actually calling her by her first name.
Right.
Yeah, so she's an 18-year-old research member from this university in America that mm-hmm. does, like, brain research.
Okay.
So he meets her there, but then like after they like, have an interaction between each other, like during the lecture, he ends up like wandering the halls where he hears like a scream, and then he finds her dead body in like a room.
Oh gosh.
So just, yeah. So like I said, like when I thought like this was going to be like a funny kind of thing, like it hits you like, yeah. no, this is going to be like a dark anime.
Mm-hmm.
So he finds her dead body in like the room, and then things transpire, and then all of a sudden he just like wakes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he wakes up thinking like, you know, was that like a dream? Like,
right.
was all that whatever? But he finds himself like repeating that same day when that happened, right?
Uh-huh.
So he goes back to like where that lecture hall thing was, and then he happens to come across her again, Kurisu.
Mm-hmm.
Kurisu. Mm-hmm. So he happens to come across her again, and he's like, how are you alive? Like,
wait a minute.
Yeah, like, wait, what? And so he's like, how are you alive? And he's like trying to confirm that she's actually real, but like,
right.
I put this in quotes, like sexual harassment. He's like touching her and like lifting up her skirt, right?
Yeah, I do, a lot of anime does that, yeah.
But she herself, like, she doesn't remember. Like, she does. Well, she doesn't remember, and she doesn't know who he is. She's like, oh my god, like, who are you? Like, why are you touching me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I think eventually, like, he comes to terms that, like, okay, she really is alive. You know, maybe what I experienced was, you know, like a vision or just a dream, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he comes to terms with, like, he's like, oh, so eventually he convinces her to join his lab
mm-hmm.
as another member.
Okay.
And then so she starts helping him create like a better version of like the the phone microwave time machine thing, which she does. And then throughout the series, there's like five other members that join the anime, but that's like a lot of characters actually talk about.
Right.
So I'll just like mention one just to kind of explain how it all happens or how it all comes together.
Yeah.
So she makes the better version of the phono microwave, and then they send mails to the past to alter the future, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it D-mail. I forgot how they came up with that explanation for the name. And they do it as they wish. So they get one of Okarin's friends. His name is Urushibara Yuruka.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, like, you look at the character design and you're like, okay, like, that's a girl, like, she cute, for a character. But you find out that Ruka's actually a boy.
Oh, God.
Right? And so he wants to send a mail to his mom in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he wishes that he could be a girl instead of a boy. Mm-hmm. Because that's how he, I guess, feels like.
Yeah.
That's what he should be. And through you know how like people have like superstitions, like, oh, if you eat more meat, you'll be like.
Yeah, right.
You have your child will be a boy. If you eat like more like vegetables, fruits, vegetables and stuff like that, your child will be a girl. So he sends this mail to his mom saying like, oh, you know, lay back the meat, like eat more vegetables or whatever.
Mm.
And then, so he sends that mail, and then Okarin, the thing about him is he has this ability where he's the only one that remembers anything that ever happens between time shifts, or they call it world lines.
Okay.
So when Ruka sends the mail back and changes that world line from him being a boy to a girl, Okarin is the only one that remembers that.
Oh, that's strange.
So now the world line is shift, and now he's in a world where he is now a girl, Ruka.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's really convoluted. It's really hard to the whole concept of time and the butterfly effect is so hard to explain.
Right. That sounds crazy.
Where was I going with this? Oh, okay, yeah. So that was the whole concept of like the D-mail. So now taking from the D-mail, the phone microwave contraption thing. Mm-hmm. Kurisu ends up making like another better version of it where like you can send your thoughts or your mind back in time.
Whoa, instead of those letters?
Instead of letters, yes. So that's how Okarin was able to like go back in time now, rather than sending himself a message like don't do this or don't do that. He's able to just send himself back and then do whatever he needs to do in that world line.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much like a really Cliff's Notes summation of like the first two episodes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll all make more sense, like, you actually, like, watch the series itself. But I think, in short, the premise of, like, the anime is really just time travel. It's a dark time travel butterfly effect kind of anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is where where I was going with the season one, season two thing.
Yeah.
So I'll put in quotes, season one is... they call it the Alpha Line, or the Alpha World.
Yeah.
So in this world, no matter what happens, no matter what Okarin does, Mayuri, his childhood friend, will always die.
Oh.
And so season one, he goes off to find a solution to f- find a try to find a way to save her.
Right.
And so that all happens, and then up till episode 23. Mm-hmm. So that all happens up until 23. After 23, he finds a solution. He ends up going into what would be the best solution is Steins Gate.
Yeah.
So that's the overall, you want to get to Steins Gate because that's where you want to go. So the season two takes place. So imagine watching season one up to episode 23, mm-hmm. not watching the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like the last two episodes, the OVA and then the movie. Mm-hmm. So if you skip all that, just watch up to 23 and then watch season two, or they call it Steins Gate Zero.
Uh-huh.
So Steins Gate Zero would be up to episode 23, but they call it the beta line, or the beta world.
Okay.
And so in this world, Makise Kurisu, she dies. Mm-hmm. And she remains dead for the whole season. Mm-hmm. And Okarin doesn't come to terms with the fact that she's dead. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, he's so broken by having to constantly go back,
yeah,
you know, and try to fix, you know, what happened with Mayuri, mm-hmm. that he's just like, I can't go back. And yeah. And so pretty much this season is like him coping with that. But then at the end, he gets a push from Mayuri because she sees that he's like
broken.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. She gets a push from him. He gets a push from her to go back in time, mm-hmm. and save her. So after that, it goes back to the Steins Gate, the perfect ending.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot.
It's a lot to take it. Like, just talking about now, I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's really dark because I wrote here, where is it? I don't think I've ever seen anime or live action, Hollywood style stuff where it's mm-hmm. You see someone going through time like that to save somebody, and you just constantly no matter what you do, you always see them die. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's I don't,
the only other thing I could think of that can compare to that IRL or not IRL, in real or I guess live action, is that Tom Cruise movie Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, Edge of Tomorrow, where you just live, die, repeat. But
yeah.
Yeah, I just don't, it's not that.
It's definitely common. Not that dramatic.
Yeah.
You can only put so much emotion and drama into somebody experiencing that in a 2-hour time format.
Mm-hmm.
But and if it's, you do it's, it in episodic, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's crazy.
It's so weird to see him constantly going through that.
Mm-hmm.
The traumatization of seeing his childhood friend die over and over and over again, no matter how hard or whatever he does to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
And in season one, it was him doing that over and over again without his mind really breaking.
Right.
To the point where I can't do that anymore, which is pretty much what happened in the second season, where it was I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I guess the only other one that we can compare that to is ReZero, right? With Subaru.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
Having the ability to... Well, I guess you could put them in the same category because it's the same thing where somebody... Steins Gate, it has, one set outcome that he wants to fix. Yeah. ReZero is he's not sure what's going to come, and then he'll have to fix it after the fact.
Well, and the thing is, in ReZero, Subaru always has to die first in order
that would be the key difference too, is he has to die to reset everything, as opposed to with Steins Gate, he has to freaking...
He just witnesses it, and then he just has to, like, send his mind back.
Yeah.
But could you imagine, like, you yourself being in that kind of position where...
I would lose my mind.
I'd lose my mind.
I guess the other key difference, too, is with ReZero, Subaru usually comes out on top. Like, he doesn't go through a whole season going back every single episode or whatever and, like, failing until he gets to the end. Like, he'll fail maybe, like, one episode or two episodes, and then the next episode he'll get it right. With what you're talking about, it seems like he has to go through the whole season to get it right once, yeah. Right?
Yep, yeah.
That's so exhausting. Yeah, I would lose my mind.
I'd lose my mind. Oh, and then, so, the thing that I was thinking, like, so I thought this to myself while I was watching the series was, like, the sense of deja vu.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, and they kind of hinted at this during the anime. It's like, mm-hmm. whatever happened in whatever world line, even though Okarin is the only one that remembers, like, right. some of the characters, like, will be like, why does this feel, like, so familiar?
Yeah.
Right? And so I thought about that. I thought about, like, the whole idea of, like, deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, deja vu was always, like, you know, you're just doing something, and all of a sudden you're just like, you know, I feel like I've done this before, yeah. or mm-hmm. you know, whatever. It could be, like, something that you just, for some reason, it just feels familiar, like...
Even though it was the first time you're doing it?
Yeah, and you don't remember what, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, watching, and I was, like, thinking about deja vu, and then it didn't really, like... confirm my actual thoughts until I watched the movie uh-huh. after the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, you know, what if deja vu is like, we actually, there are actual world lines right yeah. now.
Mm-hmm.
And we experienced,
like, we what we experienced it.
In deja vu is actually it for a fact. Actually happened in a different world line.
Right, so we just, like, crossed it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, like, a brief moment.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Or what if, like, when we experience deja vu, that's somebody that you know, or somewhere in, like, a close proximity, that time traveled back to, right? Like, that moment.
Right?
Yo, that is so crazy. I never thought about it like that.
I never thought about it like that either.
I always just thought about deja vu like, yeah, like you were saying, like a past self kind of just, like,
yeah,
lined up with your timeline for, like, a brief moment. And, like, you're just like, okay, well, that was weird. Or, you know, the classic, you know, it's a glitch in the matrix kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it that way, where it's like, oh, what if you actually did just, like, cross that timeline of your old self or future right?
that's,
self.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, after I watched the movie,
mm-hmm.
it, like, confirmed my thoughts. I was like, dude, what if really there is, like, a way that we're crossing world lines?
Dude, I'll believe it. I love stuff like that. I totally believe there are multiple timelines in our lives. Or multiverses, for sure. Like, there's no way there isn't. The universe is too big for that.
So I just, man, I'm telling you, like, I love the concept of, like, time,
mm-hmm.
even though time isn't really a thing.
Right.
You know, if you really
it's not a tangible time, thing, for sure.
Yeah. But just time, and then, like, you know, all the choices we make affect a lot of other outcomes, the, you know, butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. It just, man, it's crazy to think.
For sure. Like, that's not necessarily a horror, but it's a scary thing to think of in itself.
Yeah, so this one was like, so this, I think my anime list has it listed down at thriller sci-fi, but mm-hmm. I added, for me, myself, I added, where did I write that down? Oh yeah, so I wrote... Great story filled with mystery, suspense, thriller, some mm-hmm. action, mm-hmm. huge emotional roller coaster,
mm-hmm.
Hint of romance, and a splash of comedic relief.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because like there's like, you know, like I said, like there's moments where everything seems chill and everybody like there's you're funny like, moments like, yeah. you want to laugh then like it takes it away from you like instantly.
Yeah, right, dude. Okay, so throughout the whole your whole highlighting of this series, there's so many similarities with what I'm about to talk about. That was so weird. Like, I wanted to interrupt you, but I wanted you to keep going. I was like, dude. It's just so funny because, like, we both started a new series like this almost around the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both of these animes can definitely get, or they definitely have similarities in the way they set up the plot. And, like, the characters and stuff like that. That is so weird. So crazy. But I'm definitely going to have to check it out because it's definitely something I've always wanted to watch. I think I've watched part of the first episode.
Okay.
And then I paused it for some reason and then got busy or got distracted and just stopped watching it.
Yeah. Like but, I said before, like, for me, this was an easy, easy top 10 anime for me.
Nice, nice. Dang. Any other closing thoughts on
Saturday? I will just say, okay, so
besides the...
Yeah, besides, so I already said my piece about all the other stuff. I'm just gonna quickly briefly touch upon the music. So
okay,
season one opening was Hacking to the Gate by Ito Kaneko.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular song. Mm-hmm. Song slaps, honestly. Mm-hmm. There's a symphonic version on Spotify, which Ooh. Is surprisingly like really good too.
Nice.
So yeah, season one had four endings. None of them were too much like my taste, but for the anime, it fit the anime really well. It had that like dark tones.
Ooh,
For like an ending, like especially for like cliffhangers, and then sure. they play a song. It's like it works really well.
Right.
Second season opening, Fatima by Ito Kaneko, again another slap.
Mm-hmm.
Another slap of a song. Interestingly enough, I think I told you before, verse one was featured in the first half of the 23 episode.
Yeah.
And then the second half of the season was the second verse, which was like really cool.
That's so cool.
You don't really see that.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then season two had five endings.
Okay.
I actually enjoyed season two endings more than I did season one.
Mm-hmm.
Amadeus by Ito Kaneko is another slap.
True.
And then Zwei. They did two songs.
Mm-hmm.
Zwei, Last Game and Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
Also slap. Like, it's really good.
Nice.
Like, at first, Last Game was kind of like, I don't know if I can, like, really get into it, but, like, again, their choices of songs for the ending,
mm-hmm.
like, are really good. Like, tone-wise, like, they fit that dark. Like, they make you feel like this anime is not happy-go-lucky.
Right. I guess there's another thing we've never touched upon when it comes to the music choice of anime openings and endings. Like, even though it might not be, like, I guess, quote-unquote mainstream J-pop or J-rock, the song can still slap for you in a different way if it fits the whole ensemble of the anime, right?
Yep.
Like, it may not be your cup of tea, like you said, but if it fits the anime, then it slaps.
Mm-hmm.
Or it has the potential to slap, for sure. Like, it doesn't have to be your Lisa's, your Ima's, your Rayona's, and all that kind of stuff. But if it sets the tone, it's most likely a good opening and or ending. But nice. And the only other thing I know about Steins Gate is the classic line. Which a lot of streamers use. And I was like, man, where is this from? So I had to look it up and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's another thing. So like when you watch the anime, dude, you're going to get caught. Like when Okarin says his like Chunibyo bits,
mm-hmm.
right? When he calls himself Hyo in Kyoma, you're gonna end up saying it with him.
Yeah.
And then when every time Mayuri shows up and she does her you're gonna want to do it too.
Nice. I you know what I just thought about? Anime catchphrases.
Ooh.
I think we should do an episode of that. Or like put it in an episode. That'd be cool, because there's so many anime catchphrases, right? And do-do-do is definitely one of them. That would be cool. Yeah, all right. So, Steins Gate, everybody.
Gate.
Watch, top 10. Watch that joint. I know it's definitely on almost everyone's list. So the fact that I haven't watched it yet, shame on me. But
it's okay. I hadn't watched it yet until just, yeah, you know, 2020.
All right. So for my highlight, I will be going over Higurashi. I'm not going to say the whole title. I'm lazy. But Higurashi, When They Cry, is, I guess, the English equivalent. And it's funny you mentioned that Steins Gate was a visual novel. Higurashi started out as a series of games.
Ooh.
Kind of similar to... I guess you could say it was a visual novel also. Because it's in along the lines of, the murder mystery kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it originally started as a series of games, but then it became serialized as an anime in 2006, and it was produced by Studio Deen. I mean, that studio, probably not a lot of people really associate anime studios, unlike KyoAni and all of them, but their notable works is Ranma ½, which is a freaking classic, DNA Squared, also a classic that you need to watch. If you haven't watched it, Samurai X or Rurouni Kenshin, Fruits Basket, and more recently, my favorite isekai in the last decade is Log Horizon. But they did the second season, and they're gonna do the third season, which is coming out next year. I'm so excited. Konosuba, you've seen that, right?
I couldn't get into Konosuba.
What is so funny?
I can't get into it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well. Konosuba, and they did Seven Deadly Sins, The Wrath of the Gods, which is, I think, the current season. So, yeah, I think that's excellent. The current season. But this is, I guess, something that I haven't really talked about, is the director of anime series. And this one's directed by Chiaki Kon. I'm not sure if you recognize her. Do you?
Chiaki Kon?
Chiaki Kon.
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay, well, you will now, because she directed Golden Time.
Wait.
For real? She directed Golden Time. I was actually really surprised. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm kind of mind blown, because I could kind of see her, what's the word I'm looking for? Her, I guess, director style in Higurashi, how she sets up certain things.
Yeah.
And she's also doing the upcoming Netflix series, The Way of the House Husband, which I'm excited to watch, because it's about a Yakuza turned house husband. So that should be good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so Studio Deen produced pretty much everything from the first season all the way to the movie. And Higurashi is considered a psychological horror murder mystery. And it's about a group of friends who live in this town called Hinamizawa. And it's a rural village. And it is about that town being held captive by a very cruel and very bloody legacy. And within the storyline, for the past 4 years, on the night of their... festival, their town festival called Watanagashi. It's called the Cotton Drifting Festival. A series of very mysterious deaths and disappearances occur. In each case, one person dies and one person disappears without a trace. The death, obviously, is, somebody kills them, and the disappearance, they call it being spirited away. And they attribute all of these, mysterious deaths and disappearances as Oyashiro-sama's curse, which is their town deity. And the story takes place during the time of the fifth Watanagashi incident. So the very first episode, I'll just touch base on that really quick, is about the new kid on the block, Keiichi. And he comes into town, you know, fresh, you know, it doesn't follow him, like, just going into town. Like, you just know that he's the new kid. But mm-hmm. his four other classmates, they're all girls, which surprisingly isn't a harem anime. But so it pretty much, like, follows his perspective of him being in town and kind of feeling a little weird about, like, what's going on around the time of the festival. He, like, knows about the curse and all that stuff and what can happen. But then, for the fifth time, the curse happens. So one person dies, one person disappears, and he tries to figure out who did it or, like, what happened. But ultimately ends up finding out that the town is hiding a much deeper secret. Like, a very, very menacing secret. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Higurashi, for the first season, like what you were talking about before with Steins Gate, the first season and second season are... The second season isn't necessarily a continuation, but it's more of, like, another reoccurring arc that helps tie everything together.
Okay.
So the first season is more focused on giving you clues and filling your head with questions about, like, how the mystery came about, or, you know, what's going on with the characters and the people in this small rural town.
Yeah.
So the first season focuses on three main story arcs, and it covers three characters, which the first one is Keiichi's. Second one is his friend Mio, and the third one is Rena. And it goes through their recollection or their direct impact of, like, the murders. I lost myself. It's really interesting because this is, like, the first anime I've watched that kind of seems, like, all over the place when they do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, the first arc, you see what happens, it ends. The next arc just continues, or it doesn't continue. It starts with a whole different timeline, like what you were saying with Steins Gate.
Yeah.
But, what was I going to say?
Kono! Oh, my God, Kono, hold on.
Woof. I'm not sure. Should I wait? I'll wait.
Hey, hold on.
That's fine. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Hello.
Kono,
sorry.
Kono, are you okay? And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with Baka to Baka episode 12. Oh, no, you're good. We always hear Milo disrupt the, you know, the pod all the time, so it's okay.
And now it's Kono's.
where was I? Okay, so what's really interesting about Higurashi is the fact that, you know, from the outside, like, if you're not really paying attention to the formula of how the season is made,
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's just, like, a random throw of episodes, just, like, recollecting different, like, murders and stuff like that. Like, it almost looks like you can't make any sense of it.
Yeah, like, there's, like, no direction of, like,
yeah, there's, like, no
anime to go.
Exactly. But yeah, if you have to pay, like, really close attention to, like, what's going on towards the end of each arc, because mm-hmm. it gives you clues as to, or it gives you clues for, like, the future season two. It gives you those clues to, like, piece it all together, which is okay. Really cool. Yeah, it pretty much, like, gives you all the information that you could put together to find out what the cause is of all the quote-unquote curses. And there is one character in particular, kind of like with Steins Gate, that, you know, is pretty much the driving force behind the solving of all the mysteries. It's going to be Furu de Rika. And in that town, she's also considered a very important person, predominantly because her family runs, like, the town shrine that pays homage to Oyashiro-sama. So she's, like, the person that everybody, like, reveres or, you know, really, really cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so funny to me how you were talking about that character in Steins Gate and how he's the person that, like, really does everything to figure out how to end, like, the bad thing that happens.
Yeah.
And with Rika, it's exactly the same thing. And what's funny about her, too, though, is because she's actually the reincarnation of the said god in their town.
Ooh.
And the god, Oyashiro-sama, she knows that the curse isn't her doing. So every time a murder happens, her timeline in that instant ends, and she goes back again to... Rika has been doing this for 100 years, living that timeline over and over and over again. Yeah. I mean, you don't find that out until, like a little bit later, but it's not, like, a huge plot thing that you need to know.
Okay.
But so she's been doing this over and over and over again, and every time she does it, the length of her jump back gets shorter. So every time she does it, she has less time to figure out, you know, what the cause of it was.
Yeah.
And to get herself out of that timeline. Oh, or not really get herself out of the timeline, but to make it so that timeline never triggers her looping back over and over and over again. Yeah. And then when you get to season two, that's when everything starts to, like, unfurl, and she's like, all right, it's time to freaking do this thing and, you know, figure out who the hell's behind all this stuff. So yeah, it's really funny how there's, like, that little comparison between Steins Gate and Higurashi. I was like, I'm like behind the screen. I'm just like, my mouth is wide open. Like, are you kidding me? It's like almost the same thing, but just different circumstances. Watch
the same scene. Just different name.
Right. But yeah, I mean, that's just pretty much the gist of Higurashi. Is there's a group of friends who go through in different timelines. Like a bloody circumstance of a murder and a disappearance, and it's just them figuring out who done it, pretty much, and how to stop it. And I really enjoyed this series. Like, I remember telling you before, like, I was explaining how it kind of seems like super random, like every episode or whatever.
Yeah.
It did almost lose me in the middle of the season one because of that fact.
Okay.
But I was like, I'm just going to stick through it. I'm almost done anyway. And then you realize that, okay, all of these things actually matter and I need to pay attention.
How long is the season? Is it the 12 or 25?
It's 25 for the first season and 23 for the second.
I definitely want to watch it now.
Yeah, I think you should watch it. Like, it is, I will say, it's an acquired taste, especially with the animation. It is a little old. It's 2006, so it's not the 2006 like almost peak of hand drawn anime. It's like a little rough on the edges, and it kind of changes animation sometimes when it comes to certain scenes. Okay. But you just have to get through it, and it's kind of like Steins Gate 2, where they give you, like, the opening, everything's happy, everything's good. And then towards the middle end, they're like, no, here's the horror aspect, or the, you know, the very menacing aspect of the episode. But it pretty much just, like, it's written really well, where you want to pay attention to what's happening, because it'll be relevant in, like, either the next episode or the future episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I didn't like, or the only thing that I didn't like about this anime, was the openings and endings. They're kind of bleh. But, like we were saying before, it might not be your cup of tea, but it definitely has that eerie, like...
Yeah.
Like, the season one's opening, it makes you feel like, oh, God, something, like, really shitty's gonna happen, isn't there? But the music in the episodes, oh, man. They, like, set you up big time. Like, you know some shit's gonna happen. Like, it's really crazy. What else? I like the world building is really good. Like, the town feels really, like, for real. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, man, I feel like I'm the outsider. Like, I don't belong here kind of thing. Because the town of Hinamizawa, they're very, very close-knit. Like, super close-knit. Where they don't care about any outsider. And you'll learn about that, like, quick. And the characters are really good, too. I think you'll like the... Rika... who are the characters again? There's just so many people to know. But... there we go. Rika, Keiichi, Rena, Mion, Shion, Hanyu, which is the nickname for Oyashiro-sama, and Satoko. You'll like all of them, and you'll be, like, so feared for all of them. When you watch the episode, you're like, oh my god, please don't shit, kind of thing. I definitely think it's a worthwhile watch. I didn't go too in-depth like you did, but just to, like, give a quick, you know, splash.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth the watch, because it's apparently regarded as one of, like, the top, like, psychological horror animes. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, when you made the comparisons with that and Steins Gate, and especially after watching Steins Gate, I think I want to continue on with that.
Yeah.
What is it? Not style or theme.
Yeah. Theme for sure. Theme
Yeah.
I mean, like, I haven't seen a murder mystery since Eraser or Erased. Did you watch that one?
I did. That's the one with
the guy that actually goes back in time as a kid.
Yes. And he has that girl. There's that girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Yes. Yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah. Man, I need to start finding more anime like that. Because I'm sure there's a lot more. Excuse me.
Yeah, I can't really think of the top of head, like...
Like ones that stand out, right?
Yeah, like recent psychological murder mystery
stuff.
I mean, the only, like, horror I can really think back on is just Tokyo Ghoul.
True. Yeah, I mean, Higurashi definitely has its, like, really bloody, like, grueling moments. Like, really grueling.
You know what else is a good, like, psychological... horror. Did you ever watch I literally had it and now it's gone. Elfin Lied.
I have not watched it, but I've always wanted to.
Ooh.
I heard that one is, like, definitely, like, really good.
Oh, that one really hit me in the feels too.
God.
Yeah, that one's great. Yeah, I'd watch that one. You should watch that one too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we said, in the spirit of Halloween, I'm definitely going to start watching more horror ones because they're really good. Like, they're good. You'll probably find the best, like, writing in horror movies or psychological horror / murder mystery. Oh, see, there goes Milo. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if, like, there are any other horror, murder mystery, psychological horror anime that our listeners would kindly request or recommend. Well, I didn't know this, and it wasn't until after I read somebody writing about it, but ReZero is considered that in that category.
I can see it as a psychological
for sure
horror thing. Yeah,
it's very depressing. Like, when you really, under a microscope, you analyze everything that Subaru has been through. That is depressing.
Yeah, dude, it's rough.
It hurts. You feel it. In the second season, you really feel it.
Yeah. Some of the ways he dies, dude, is...
Oh, it's terrible. But it's great. It's great to watch.
It's like, it's still one of those series I don't know what's going on, but I just gotta keep watching more every week.
I really don't know story-wise what's going on, but I understand what's going on with him. Like, he's just trying to not be alone. So sad. But yeah, story-wise, what the hell? I don't know. What is the end goal for Emilia? Besides, you know, being the, I guess, the ruler or something?
I don't even remember. I don't.
Like, what is she a candidate of again?
honestly, if he just went with Rem in the first season...
That's what I'm saying!
It'd be done. It'd be over.
All you had to say was yes, dude. How do you not say yes to Rem? Are you kidding me? And now look at what she is. She's a vegetable. Pissed. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen season 2. That is a great one, though.
She's a cute vegetable, though.
She a cute vegetable. I could watch her be a vegetable all day. Oh. But yeah. Yeah, Higurashi and Steins Gate, everyone. If there's any anime that you want to watch post-Halloween, if you're still in that spooky, spoopy mood. Although not really like ghosts or whatever, but definitely watch it. Check it out. Check them out. They're made by really great studios, so they have the rapport. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for today's episode. We didn't think it would be too long, so we're at an hour and 30, which is really good.
It's really good.
I think we're starting to get better at it.
Slowly. It only took 12 episodes.
It only took 12. Wait, last episode was really good, too. That one was good.
That one was on point.
Time-wise, that was really good. Yeah, I mean, are there any other closing thoughts that you have today?
I don't.
We will have... our next episode will be on Thanksgiving, though. And that one, we are going to cover... I forgot. It was something really important.
I don't remember.
Oh my gosh. It was something like, it was going to be epic. It was going to be so good. What was
it? I don't remember.
Oh God. Just forget we said anything.
I know it was going to be amazing though.
I know. What the heck are we going to... We need to start... I need to start writing down in a notebook.
I know.
It's bad. But yeah, I mean, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Again, happy Halloween, or, you know, in the past. I hope you are all staying safe regardless. It's still a pandemic. Don't think otherwise. It's flu season. Go out with your mask or don't go out at all. And also go out and vote because I'm very nervous for the future of the U.S., come Tuesday.
I went on Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I did early vote. First time voter, by the way.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah, let's give it up. Let's give it up for you doing your civic duty.
I'm a full-fledged American now.
You are now an adult. Good job. I'm proud of you. Was it busy?
Surprisingly, the wait was like an hour and a half.
That's not too
and
bad.
Apparently yesterday last couple days also has been like pretty lengthy from what I heard.
Gotcha.
But I don't think it's as bad as it would be on election day. So
100%. I'm glad there have been a lot of people like voting early. France voted for the first time yesterday too, or this past week voted for the first time also.
Celebrate.
Yeah.
Not Americans.
Yeah, please go out and vote. If you don't vote and the worst happens, it's gonna be Halloween every day. It's gonna be horror for the next 4 years. So please. Onegai shimasu. But yeah, that'll be it for today's episode. Again, follow us on Twitter, please. We need suggestions because obviously we forget what we're gonna do in the future. But we also just love to hear from all of you. It would be wonderful. Whoever left that voicemail that one time, please leave another one because we're lonely.
We're talking about you.
Yeah. But yeah, next episode will be Thanksgiving. Hope you all look forward to it. Until next time. Sayonara.
Sayonara much.
It's too late, it's too late. Now go.